Hello, welcome to Learn With Us. Today on the show, founder of BizFluence, Joel Wald. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm just here doing my thing. No big deal.
So there's quite a amusing story here, and I'm sure Joel won't mind me sharing it. Joel's got an excellent podcast called The Joel Show. Definitely go check it out. One of the most realistic, heartfelt podcasts on business I've listened to and subscribed to it. But basically, what
I
happened,
love it. I think it's great. I think it's better than most podcasts out there, honestly, if I can be objective about it. In most podcasts out there, it's like stories and this and that. Like, I just go for the kill and just have a really rocking conversation. I'm telling you, it's a really good podcast. It's just not getting enough attention. We got to get a little bit more attention.
That's exactly what you're going to get in that podcast, that raw information, you know, no nonsense, because we're all very busy and we don't want to hear about your tea parties and your scones.
Do you really care if I grew up in Belarus, like Gary Vaynerchuk says, every 5 minutes? I don't care. Like, I don't care where you come from. I want to know where you came from today. You know, what did you do today? Like, did you buy a piece of real estate today? Did you invest in something today? Like, what did you do yesterday? How did you transition from one job to the other? Like, what, from one company to the other in the last year, in the last 3 years, not 20. I don't care what you did 20 years ago. I would never learn from anyone that did something 20 years ago. I cannot learn from Bill Gates. I just can't. The timing, like, there's nothing I can learn from Bill Gates, literally. So besides for the fact that it's extremely hard to learn from just, genetic lottery winners like Bill Gates and like Elon Musk, they're just like a specimen. Like, it's like learning from a guy that knows how to juggle 400 balls while, you know, sitting on top of 10 unicycles. Like, what are you going to learn from him? You can't do that. So what, like, what are you going to learn? You can watch it. You're going to enjoy it, appreciate it. But you can't learn from them.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to get on this show when you actually have some time in your life to talk to people like myself, Tiny Podcast, because I'm sure if you pull it off what you're doing, then people like me are not going to get you much attention. But anyway, I have you now. But the funny story is that you had this huge influence on LinkedIn. You organized the biggest, I think one of the biggest LinkedIn get-togethers.
The biggest.
Yeah.
The two biggest.
The two biggest LinkedIn get-togethers. And a lot of your podcast material was based on succeeding on LinkedIn. And then all of a sudden, LinkedIn banned you. Mm. And so you basically says, okay, I'm going to make a different platform. And you basically, that's what you're doing. You know, so fascinating, really.
Yeah. I got banned off LinkedIn in late June, early July of this year right now. It's funny, I'm sitting here like wearing the t-shirt, right? And it's like, I've got the startup it's already raised money and has already got users and everything. And it actually just happened like, you know, July, August, September, like 3 months ago. And it's like I've accomplished, and I'm not bragging, by the way. And anyone that knows me, anyone that doesn't know me should know, like, I'm not here to brag or to, you know, flex. But what's incredible is that it's been 3 short months and we're a lifetime into this thing. But what's cool is that at the end of June, early July, I think it was July 2nd maybe, people are like, you got banned. Oh, what did you do? What did you say? Oh, you're too controversial, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, you guys do not get it. It's such a slippery slope here. I promise you, you're all getting banned. Like, everybody's getting banned. And now, 3 months later, there are posts every single day on LinkedIn. If you go to like LinkedIn censorship and you search that in the content, like, I'm seeing more of those because I actually search for those. They're censoring absolutely everything. Anything you'll say for masks, against masks, for Trump, for Biden, for black people, against black, like whatever you want to say, they censor. It might be bullying. It might be harassment. What? Who? What? Well, how is that bullying? I have no idea what you're talking about, LinkedIn, but boom, 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 boom. So they're engaged in censorship probably heavier and on a much bigger scale than Twitter and Facebook is. And while everyone was like looking at me weirdly, like, Joel, how do you get like banned off LinkedIn? Like, what did you do? Now they all get it. And it's the timing is just perfect. That combined with LinkedIn bugging for the last 4 months, they're bugging. Their algorithm is bugging. You're seeing posts that you saw a week ago, and it's just coming over and over and over again in your feed. And this is from a company that that's doing it's got a valuation of $3 billion, I think. I think LinkedIn is $3 billion and owned by Microsoft, and they have thousands of employees, and they can't get it right. They're top heavy. But that's not why we got into this. We got into this because, just to break it down for you guys, I started hearing from developers and from designers and from investors that there are things you can do. You can try to build a beta platform. This is the third podcast I'm doing since last night. So like I've been saying this over and over. I always say it a little differently, but it kills me. It's just so annoying, but I'll say it again. People were like, you can do, you know, maybe here. So one designer gave me like a little piece of beta platform where you can post. And I'm like, how the hell did he do that? And then I go to my partner who's a developer and I said, Jacob, look what this designer gave us. Can I create like a very, very, very basic raw form of a platform? Yes, we can. We can use this tool and that tool and the other tool. And we did that. It took us, 2 weeks. And we started talking about it. And then we had 100 investors, 100, reach out to us and say, we'd like to invest. So a lot of things came together. And we benchmarked it in baby steps. So we said, if we can build a small raw beta platform with just very basic functions, not even messaging, it just had post, like, and that's it, then we can maybe get a couple of dollars from investors. And then we can get some users. We can get 1,000 users. I know for sure we can get 1,000 users. And we got 1,000 users. I said, okay, so we can get money. We can get a lawyer, we can get this, we can get that. And then, okay, so now it's still, we only released it for the public about a month and a half ago, and we're getting, you know, 50 to 100 users every day. So we're at about 3,000 users now. We're making it very hard on the users. We're actually going back into beta because we want active, engaged, heavy users. But the takeaway for anyone that's listening is that you take this mountain of a thing that, like, you cannot build Facebook. Facebook is like, you cannot replace Facebook. Sure. And the point is not about replacing, but can you build another LinkedIn? Mm. No, you need to build 1,000 person community, and that's doable. Nikos can build 1,000. Everyone can build 1,000 person community. Then can you build a 10,000 person community? Yeah. And, you know, with the right tools and with the right investment, you could. Then can you do it 100, you know, at 100,000? So we're not there yet. We're not even at 10,000 yet. But what we're doing is we're trying to shrink the users, actually, constrict it and keep it tight and have active users that are posting great content. I don't know if you've seen lately, we have post challenges every day, and the winner gets their post pinned to the top of the feed so that we're getting really good content. We're launching a few different programs that will tell you if you haven't posted in a week. As a beta user, you must post once a week. You have one more day before your account gets paused. Oh, we're wow. Literally going to pause. Yeah, we're going to pause half of the accounts. And then when people come in, they're going to know, right? And the programs will take care of that. You must have a profile picture. You must have a first and last name. You must post and engage with other posts once a week. You get points for that, and you can be an affiliate and you can win swag. But it's community. It's like a real community. It's like if you come to an event, there is rules to the event. Like if you're going to go network at an event, you can't just sit in the lobby and smoke. Like there's going to be moderators walking around the event and saying, hey, what's your name? Come on, why don't you come join us at this networking session? Also, the way you post, which already is in our beta, where it's categorized by industry, it's categorized by interest, it's categorized by different things. So you can post about humor if you want to, but it's not going to be in the main feed. We're keeping the main feed business focused. So we're doing a ton of things, and we're going to have, and I'm not exaggerating, we're going to have features that will blow your mind. And you know, the common theme of all these features is that they're simple, they're dumb. And I think every great idea is just dumb. And what's interesting here is it's even dumber because we're not even inventing anything. Like, this is all stuff that's out there. So I'll give you a little teaser. You know, on LinkedIn, you're posting videos, right? Mm-hmm. I'm posting, you know, a video a day or every other day. What happens to all those videos? It's gone in 3 hours. It's out of the algorithm.
Like YouTube.
Now, now it's bugging. So you might see it, even though, I mean, I don't, my videos don't get that many views, but, what if it gets categorized, archived like a YouTube? Imagine if you went on LinkedIn and you like Joel's stuff, okay? Like, I like Beryl Solomon stuff or Shay Robottom or Jonathan Palmer, who's been coming up with really cool videos. I want to click on his profile and go to his video posts, or or I want to go to the video dashboard and click on sales tips and then see 1,000 videos like YouTube, but I can actually talk to these people. I can engage with them. It's 10 times better than YouTube. That's it's a billion-dollar feature. It's a billion-dollar feature right there.
I really like this. I like your bold approach of moderation, because a lot of times you thinking about the sites that you sign up to and then you basically forget about it and never post on anything. But then if you've got something where you actually have to contribute, it adds a sense of importance to the thing, because it's not free as in free once there, always there kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, our idea is to have 1 million users, but for our platform to be twice as active as LinkedIn with 700 million users. So we want to be 1,400 times more active than LinkedIn. Yeah, 1,400 times more active than LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We could. And I think if you go into the platform right now, it already is active. Like, it's popping. People are putting posts up and things are happening. And we haven't given them anything. All we've given them is a community, a little basic piece of software. What the competitors are doing wrong is they're trying to come up with software. Now, we're trying to come up with software too. Like I just told you, I have a billion-dollar video archiving idea feature. But at the core of it, it's building a community. And once you have a community, and that's what I learned from the last few years of being heavily involved in social media, is that it's all about the community, especially business social media, like LinkedIn. It is all about the community. Twitter is about the users, but it's not so much about community, because you don't really need another user in order to exist. You just want to put out stuff. Like, you want to put out about sports, politics, music, entertainment, whatever it is. And they're used to seeing things. Here, you're actually bringing people together, and 100 people that are in the real estate business are going to be doing real estate business together. So if you can build that, then you keep them there. Where are they going? They're not leaving. So the other platforms that launched, let's say, in the last couple of years, they're all kind of like software tools. So you can swipe right and left to connect with people. You could there's like an intro tool. There are different there's a referral app, but they don't build that community with that feed where people are popping and talking to each other and intriguing interest. So LinkedIn started winning on that because they had that crazy feed that started coming out, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago. But then without the proper filters, that degraded. So right now, unless you do a tremendous amount of cleanup, and I'm probably one of the guys, probably from the top 5% of LinkedIn users that actually know really, really well how to use it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it took a tremendous amount of effort before I got banned to clean up my feed and focus it on only those people I want to follow, only the type of content I want to follow. It took me months of cleanup work. And I guarantee that 99% of the people on LinkedIn are not doing that. So we're building that from the get-go, that we have the excitement, we have the buzz, we have the community, but it's also, we have a lot of control, a lot of spam filters and all that stuff. Obviously, when we talk about spam, messaging, one of the big sore points of LinkedIn, we're gonna build some very simple spam features. Again, it's out there. Different tools have different versions of them. LinkedIn doesn't. So we want to put the control in your hand to filter and to organize and to search. and to communicate and build business, and then give you certain tools that you want to use to build business. Mm-hmm. Transactional tools, banking tools, you know, different products that you can use in your business. So if you've got a community where everyone you know and everyone you want to know is there, plus you have the tools that help you facilitate business, that's it. It's a winner. And Microsoft, with their 10,000 employees that are sitting at home and walking the dogs and letting their algorithm go to crap, they're not doing it. Like, they're not doing it. It's too late. I'm more afraid of some smart kids in Harvard coming up with something than I am of LinkedIn kind of like reacting.
Yeah, a lot of my leads come from LinkedIn. So like, and a lot of my new business comes to me. So if I didn't have LinkedIn, I don't know what I'd do at the moment, really. Because
exactly at this point in time, it's like, and think about all the people that are getting banned. Like, where are they going? Like, there's nothing out there. But more than that, even with all its faults, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful community that's driving leads. And especially for smaller entrepreneurs that don't have like the big name accomplishments and stuff that get them, you know, 300. Likes on a post, like, you know, some big startup just launched XYZ and now they're taking off and everyone's liking their post. You're just a regular guy. You're just an engineer. You're just a computer programmer. You're just, you know, a small, you know, startup builder, whatever it is. You have on a smaller platform, on a platform that's more user-centric and gives you more power to filter, to find geographically, to review each other. Like, there's so many different things that will work much better for smaller businesses. And it's fine, like, to focus for us, we're not thinking that way, but we know, we're very aware that for smaller businesses, we can get a million small business people on there that will totally rock, like, you know, the platform without even getting, you know, Chase Bank employees and you know, Microsoft employees on there. Mm-hmm.
I must admit, quite a few startups come to me for advice, but you're very fortunate you have a good technical co-founder. That is the hardest thing to find for a startup is a good. I mean, that's just, how did you pull that one off?
So we have, well, I was dealing with my partner actually as a vendor client relationship where. His company built a website for one of my companies that I was attached to. And we got to know each other and we became friendly. And I used to share my challenges with my advertising business with him. And he would tell me, look, you can automate this stuff. And after about 6 months of discussions, I said, you know what? Go ahead. Here's the thing. I currently have 75 clients. Here's the deal. You automate this and any client that comes on board this month will get, you know, 20, 30 new clients. Let's say I was growing at a very rapid pace at that time. And I said, those 30 clients, they'll be yours. We'll be 50-50 partners. So we ended up transitioning all our clients over. We ended up becoming 50-50 partners in this Amazon advertising business. And he just has the technical know-how on the development side, you know, both front and back end, to a degree, meaning he can vet the right developers, he can vet the right UX, UI, which I would have no idea. I don't know the first thing about coding. I sit on these phone calls and I literally fall asleep.
Yeah.
I was just lucky. But I guess the lesson for others is, you know, it's definitely important. You know, you can't do everything yourself. If you find, like, you got to find that right partner, because even if they're not doing everything themselves, at least they're invested in the business as a partner or as an equity holder to say, you know, this design team that we just had a call with, it's for $35,000, it's nonsense. You can do the same thing for $7,000. Like, that's the kind of partner you need to have.
It's the number one thing that startups go wrong with. Like, to have somebody that pull off a biz fluence is very rare. In the amount of time you've done it, I mean, I'm 6 months down the road to my startup, and it's you know, it's hard going. But size of the platform.
I mean, I can tell you. Yeah, I mean, there's another platform that I got to see, and then I connected with the founder, and we actually became like friendly over the last 2 weeks. And they had already a community of 20,000 people, kind of like in this networking community. They had events and stuff like that. So they already had the community. They had people that were engaged in this so-called, you know, family. And they started building, they launched like a year and a half ago. And slowly they went from a very raw site to a pretty nice looking app. They only have 7,000 users. I mean, they still haven't done any marketing either, you know, so we're kind of like similar stages. But what's interesting here is their feed is just, there's only 1 to 2 posts every hour. It's not going to get stronger. Like, you know, if you don't go, like, that's something that because based on my experience of content creation, I bring something that someone like Reid Hoffman or Jeff, whatever his name is, Wiener at LinkedIn, I don't think they had that. The content creation, the skill of being able to create content, and the knowledge of what it takes users to get excited. I think that's a huge, huge, huge thing that, thank God, I have going for me. Because without that, you're kind of like building features, and then you're just spending marketing money. You need to have so many variables just like luck out on you that, you know, obviously LinkedIn, they lucked out. They came up with a concept, you know, 17 years ago in 2003 at a time when people were just starting to transition to this. If they did it today without the knowledge in content creation and without that community building experience and some other things, they'd probably fail miserably. So we do have some things going for us there that I think are going to help us. You know, hopefully, I still think we're going to fail. I think there's a 90% chance we're going to fail. But we do have some really cool things going for us that I think will take us all the way.
I'm prepared to fail completely, to be honest. But I like what I'm doing. I think it's good for humanity to get people to mentor others. That's all I'm about. I'm not in a rush to grow it. We're getting about one user every 2 or 3 days, or, you know, one. It's fine. For me, that's fine, because I don't think I'm as skilled as your co-founder. But it gives me time to develop the rate I'm comfortable with. You know, we're still getting end-to-end testing sorted out and all this stuff. And
it's important not to get caught up with the urgency of, oh, we must scale. If especially when it comes down to something like a mentorship program, which, by the way, is in our blueprint as well, to have the ability to allow people to mentor others, either for free. So the free ones would be in one dashboard, or paid. So you can book time with me for, you know, $29 an hour if I'm so inclined. Kind of like Fiverr plus, you know, mentorship, consulting, and that type of thing. I mean, if you're doing something like that and you really want to help the world and you're putting your best efforts in there, so you're going to hit exponential growth at some point. It doesn't matter. You make it right and do it right. And it, as long as you're not pressed for cash or for time, because, I don't know, you're having a baby next month, you know, so you should be fine, right?
Yeah. The way I'm doing it is that I'm mentoring people myself, and then I'm forming patterns that people can do it. And what I've discovered is that mentoring is actually a win-win situation, because if you're mentoring somebody, like I did a post on LinkedIn the other day, like when I'm mentoring people, it's, and they're watching my screen, basically I'm teaching them code while I'm coding, it stops me getting distracted with like YouTube and games, stuff like that, because they probably think, well, what's this guy doing, you know? And also it helps me refine my teaching methods, and it's just nice feeling to know you've helped somebody in life as well, you know? It's not all just about myself, so. And plus the skills that I've learned building this thing, I could take the code and... I've got another 2 ideas that I want to make as well. I've got an idea for a travel company and a voting machine, which we'll see how that goes. But
I mean, what's cool with what I'm learning, in the last 3 months, but beyond 3 months, because maybe 6 months before that, I already started with getting involved in different startups. What I've learned is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have to put a unique twist on something. So you can literally launch an Uber tomorrow if you come up with a better way how to do it. you know, if I had to sit down in a room with a whiteboard for a full day, I think I can come up with a better Uber, right? Now, obviously, I will need a lot of money to execute it and all that stuff, right? And a lot of luck and timing and all that stuff. But you don't have to come up with Uber. You can come up with a better Uber. And that's what's so cool about being in a time where there are mentoring apps, there are education apps, there are, you know, political public what would you classify the voting thing as?
Like a public social polling, I guess.
Yeah, or just like social kindness apps and stuff like that. They're all out there, but you can make it better, or you can serve it to a particular niche. So maybe right now, I mean, you know, there are all kinds of driving apps right now, like Uber, but they're designed for business people. I think they're stupid. There's one very big one that's designed for like businesses or whatever. I think it's stupid. I mean, Uber is Uber. Like you don't need a special one that like it's a car that comes and takes you someplace. There are not a lot of ways to play that. But like I said, maybe you could. I mean, you could play that in a way, right? And you could get a small market share. So I would say anyone that's listening or for yourself, that goes that what's cool about watching other apps is you can learn from their mistakes and maybe do it a little better. And as long as you can convince others to join, that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I have hit upon a phenomenal idea over the weekend on Shabbos, where we don't have access to our phones or electric or anything. So I couldn't Google it, but in my head I was like, oh, I'm sure it exists.
Yeah.
But even if it exists, I can still do it. And of course, I forgot the idea until yesterday. Couldn't remember what I was thinking. And I log into an app that it's similar to, and I'm like, oh my God. And I look, and I'm like, as I looked through the app store, I was sure it was there, and it is there.
Yeah.
But the one I would do would serve a very unique niche, let's just say. So what I did was, so I'm saying this to you because I couldn't even tell my partner because we're involved in two things. He would absolutely kill me if I came and said, hey, I have this thing. He would be like, you're not serious. But so I went to someone in that field, had a discussion with him. At first he was like, no way. After a half hour, he was like, oh my God, we can actually do this. So I told him I could not be a 50-50 partner on this. I'd be, some kind of advisor and equity holder. But what's interesting is you can take things that are out there and just improve it or shift it, you know?
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed, in a sense, personally as well, that the amount of the people that are going to respond to this crisis virus in different ways. Some people will just have a job, which is fine. Some will have a job and then they'll be dependent on the government. Others, they don't have the government to depend on, and they have so much pressure that they either buckle or they come out with this gold new business ideas, products. To be honest, I wouldn't have had the time to make this mental CV if my business wasn't totally wrecked in London, with this virus thing. So
same here. Not only was my business wrecked from the virus, now my whole social network, any of the possibilities of even doing, and I was involved in two brand new things as well, which now those things I just can't do them regardless if I was busy or not. I needed LinkedIn in order to have the exposure for that. And I was literally devastated.
Yeah.
But I was only devastated for like a day and a half.
Okay.
And then I was like, this happened. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to sue anybody. Like, there are a lot of people on LinkedIn right now that have this class action lawsuit. I don't care. I do not care. I do not want to make $1 million from a class action lawsuit. I want to make $1 billion, from my own, handiwork. So that was my immediate response to it. And everyone's different. Obviously, people are wired differently. But if you're listening, look, you have to be able to be in a mindset that you're in control and you only live once. I mean, when you're 90 years old, do you want to say I failed, so the government gave me $1,000 a month? Like that's like what kind of life is that? Like that's a terrible life. You want to do things, and with a smartphone in our hands, we can literally do anything. So that for me, it's an important lesson. And even though I'm nowhere accomplished with this thing, like I have the t-shirt, but we're nowhere. We're at the very, very, very early stages of this thing. But I'm just confident that I'm moving forward. And one more lesson that I can tell you, and I have to jump off, I'm gonna have to go get my kids, is that mindset. Well, I mean, I'm no Tony Robbins. I'm not gonna sit here and give you like
Tony Robbins at all.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give you like cliche about mindset, and but what I can tell you is that you can be a millionaire in mindset, because you're working on whatever it is that you're working on, and you say to yourself, by the time my business is 3 years old, it's gonna be a $10 million company. You know what? If in 3 years from now, it's not a $10 million company yet, or it's not a $1 million company yet, but for 3 years, you are a millionaire. Like I've been a millionaire for 20 years and I wasn't a millionaire, right? I had a mindset, and you live a different life. It's like you're just moving forward. Like it didn't happen yesterday, it might happen today. Like, you know, I got into a call with an investor today and like I have nothing. Maybe in an hour I'll have something. Yeah. Like, you know, so it's a mindset.
Well, Joel, I really appreciate your time. It's been inspiring. Get this show up on the road soon.
I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. But yeah, we'll see you. And yeah, we're gonna do some you know, in-person events, and we'll do a lot of things. Did you want to do like a screenshot of this?
Well, you can send me I'll send you a screen. I'll just take a picture of you here. That was encouraging, man. That was I admire you, you know. And as you grow, I'll maybe ask for some advice for you from you guys and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, just Bisfluence, hit me up, and it's there. Let me just send this to you. Yes. Well, I'll save it and I'll send it to you. Okay.
Cool. All right, everybody. That was Joel Wall, and founder of Bisfluence. Go check out his site, and I'll leave links to his site and his podcast in the show notes. See you all later on Learn With Us.
Thank you.